Back in October, as part of the ABC's Mental As Week, we spoke to a number of people and many of them told us the same thing, that exercise was hugely beneficial and an important part of their recovery. Now, a new study reveals that there is indeed scientific evidence to back that up. It's taken a look at how exercise helps people suffering post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. The study's author, Dr. Simon Rosenbaum from the George Institute of Global Health, joins me now in the breakfast studio. Simon, welcome to breakfast.
Thank you.
Didn't we know this already, that exercise does really help if you've got mental health issues or you might be trying to recover from PTSD? How's your study added to this body of knowledge?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've formalised what we already knew. So anecdotally, the people that have experienced post-traumatic stress disorder, so veterans and first responders, police officers, paramedics, they would report that they use exercise as part of their management strategy, but there was no formal evidence to actually justify the inclusion of physical activity within treatment programs. So I think what we've been able to do by showing that this is clinically useful strategy, hopefully we can have an effect on treatment and facilities down the road.
Is it clinically useful, though, because it helps things like make people, lose weight, feel better about themselves, those kind of maybe sleep better, maybe those kind of elements, rather than anything, any other physiological change that is forced by the act of exercise itself?
As both go hand in hand. So we know there's that acute physiological effect and that response to a single exercise session. It's all often called the runner's high. But we know there's long-term and there's also other benefits. So
the runner's high is linked to serotonin. Is your finding linked to serotonin levels?
Yeah, we haven't looked at the mechanisms in that detail. I think that's one potential mechanism. But there's other benefits. For example, we know that people experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder have high rates of obesity and diabetes and physical illness. They become withdrawn. They're less likely to participate in physical activity. And as a result, we see that weight change, and that can feed into the symptoms itself. So I think what our program has shown is that by engaging people in physical activity, we can help with the symptoms, but also preventing that physical health.
So did your study indicate whether physical activity helps with people who are already fit and suffering depression or post-traumatic stress disorder? Because I know a lot of the people in your study came from military and police backgrounds. Presumably some of them had quite high levels of fitness.
Absolutely. Already. And I guess they come from a background of being physically fit. But we know that with severe PTSD, people are less likely to be physically active. Because if we think about the general population, it's hard to get moving. It's hard to find motivation to exercise. And if you compound that with a mental illness, such as PTSD, it's often really difficult just to get out of bed. So I think we've got to use this as a strategy to try and motivate people to get moving, which hopefully has an impact on other aspects of their life. And that's absolutely what we saw. So, for example, we had one patient I remember clearly who, as a result of the program, he started walking. He then started playing golf. He then re-engaged with his friends and family. And that then had a big effect on his relationship with his wife as well.
As I say, though, Simon, those linkages, they're well known and well developed, that it's basically good to find anything to get people off the couch, out in front of the telly and outside and moving. Is there any extra dimension to your research that has underlined that and that you would, take in to make the case for exercise to become part of best practice for mental illness?
Yeah, sure. I think keeping in mind that people with PTSD, we've got a 40% increased risk of diabetes. And I think the idea that, exercise is just a given and we should just accept that it's part of treatment, that's not the way it's conceptualized at the moment. So I think we need to move away from thinking about exercise as this diversional strategy and a time filler and actually treating it like a clinical intervention, which we've shown that it is.
And we've spoken before on this program to people involved in groups like Soldier On and Mates for Mates, dealing with trying to help people who return soldiers getting on top of their PTSD. Every single one of them talks about the benefit of exercising together, but they're emphasising, I think, the togetherness of interacting with your mates and, men and women, the same, rather than the exercise. But do you think your research could result in increased funding and support for those sort of groups who really that is their focus, physical fitness, physical working together?
We would absolutely like to see that, and I've been a big supporter of Soldier On, and they're doing some fantastic work around trying to engage veterans in physical activity and adventurous-based activities. I think we can't ignore the physiological impacts of the exercise session, and there's some research looking at things like the impact exercise can have on certain regions of the brain. So there is definitely a physiological mechanism behind this, but I think there's also that psychosocial strategies as well.
And the same for male and female? Did your study show?
Yeah, so predominantly we had more males in the research, and that just reflected the fact that most of the patients at the hospital where we conducted the study were from a veteran or police background.
Okay. Simon Rosenbaum, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Simon Rosenbaum from the George Institute of Global Health. He's the author of a new study on the benefits of exercise for people suffering post-traumatic stress disorder.